Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a show dedicated to helping you escape diet culture, gain trust with food, honor your body, and live a brighter life. Hello, hello, and welcome back to The Kitchen Table. I am so glad you're here. I'm your host, Alicia Brown, an anti-diet registered dietitian nutritionist. And I am so excited. We got Casey Berglund back here at The Kitchen Table with me. She is the owner of Worthy and Well, and she made the whole Let Your Body Lead professional certification course, which I graduated from. Was it in August, Casey? Did we graduate? September?
Yeah.
Yes.
August.
Oh my gosh, it seems like yesterday. I have used tools that I've gained from this certification every day since and during. We were just talking before we hit record that I had a baby throughout the whole certification, and it was just like truly like what I needed this year and the year of 2020. And I wanted to have Casey back at the end of the year just to really talk more about the certification and specifically about the coaching pillar in this certification. There are four pillars. We have coaching, embodiment, ancient wisdom, and science. And I had Casey on last month, and we talked a lot about how we can get more into our feeling bodies rather than our thinking heads, out of our thinking heads and into our feeling bodies. And if you haven't listened to that episode with Casey, go back and listen to that episode in the archives because it is bomb. It is killer. And we do a little embodiment exercise in it. So you got to do the embodiment exercise with us. You'll thank me later. But now for this episode, I really want to dive into that coaching pillar because we all need a little bit of guidance maybe right now of how we can like really just deepen our work and our discovery in intuitive eating and beyond. So Casey, just first and foremost, thank you for being here. I just so love and value you and all of what you give. And let's dive into that coaching pillar.
Oh, I love it. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
We're bringing some lit energy today. We were both like showing off our dance moves before hitting record, digging into the coaching pillar. I'm so happy to be back and really grateful for the space that you hold for these conversations.
Heck yeah. And Casey, you've been my coach for over a year and a half now. And I've learned so much about coaching through how you've coached me. And I think that's often how it works, right? Like, I think people need people to heal. And I think that healing can happen in so many different ways in our business life and in, you know, our health and how we're healing our relationships with food and body, like we talk about here on the show. And also in our relationships. So like, I just want to open with like, how do you feel like coaching can help us in those three areas in our life? Like being coached by somebody else or being able to kind of like self-coach ourselves mm-hmm. through situations?
Yeah, thank you for asking. I think it can be really powerful. You know, I recently had conversations with friends about how much I can see into others and hold space for others and coach others. And of course, we can do that for ourselves, but it's not the same as having someone else hold space for us. Mm-hmm. And so even though, you know, I have extensive skills in coaching, I work with coaches and mentors and guides who can ask me powerful questions and help me pull out my inner wisdom and get clear on a game plan and a vision. And basically, I think the real intention of coaching is to support us with co-creating the life that we really want to live. So when you talk about different areas of life being impacted, you know, how coaching skills can help us with our relationship with food and body, how they can support us with connecting inward when we use self-coaching tools. Coaching skills can support just how we show up in relationships in general and create more conscious relationships, more connected relationships, more authentic relationships. And of course, coaching can also support the area of work and wealth and career and finding a sense of purpose from within. So absolutely, it's powerful. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to pulling out the little pieces of this and maybe even offering your audience some very practical coaching tools to try out today and over the holiday season to really stay connected to yourself and also support and be with the people that you surround yourself with in this season of your life.
When you listen to Casey, everyone, like, don't you just want to up-level yourself? Like, don't you just feel, I mean, like, talk about embodiment for just a second here. Like, I just feel so expansive listening to you. Like, man, I'm going to hold space for everybody, you know? Like, I'm going to hold the most space. I'm ready for it. Everyone come in my circle, you know? I just feel that listening to you. And so talking about on that conversation about holding space, though, really, like, somebody, like, asking somebody to hold space for us or having them hold space for us during a coaching session can be a really powerful thing, and being able to hold space for others. We've talked about that during the certification, but for anybody listening, can you just kind of break down, like, what it really means to hold space for ourselves or others?
Question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the term holding space or hold space is used a lot in the coaching sphere, in the yogic world and realm. It's a form of language that is used a lot in certain circles, mm-hmm. and not at all in other circles. So for you, if you're listening, it might be a brand new term. And when I think about holding space, when I feel into the essence of holding space, it really is about creating a solid container within which transformation can happen. And holding space is a coaching skill. And I kind of take it a step further and say, holding space with loving presence, it is this skill that's really about creating a safe, supportive container to drop into the present moment within. Mm-hmm. And it's critical. When we talk about holding space for ourselves, what that practically might look like is having time blocked off, say in the morning when you have your coffee with heavy cream.
That's right.
Even better when the cream is frothed. We had a little conversation before jumping into this about our love of heavy cream, and especially when it's frothed. That's my suggestion. But anyway, holding space for yourself could be having your favorite morning beverage. If you're a tea drinker, that might be it, or a water drinker, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend coffee with heavy cream. But it could be about setting this container for yourself to really drop in, be present, and be with, you know, your coffee, or take a moment for yourself. Holding space for yourself could take 5 minutes to really create the sense of loving presence and to just tap into how you're feeling, what's up for you. Mm-hmm. Holding space for yourself could also be, you know, as a business owner, I think it's really important to have moments of rest and regeneration. And I like to have what I call CEO retreats, like blocking off time throughout the year, at least a couple times, where I get to be alone and create a container for myself to just be in a sort of creative, daydreaming, reflective space. So that also could be an example of holding space for yourself, is saying, okay, these 3 days or this one day, I'm going to go to an Airbnb in the woods and allow myself to just be and have time and space to reflect on what I need. Mm-hmm. When it comes to holding space for other people, you know, this is a really good example. Like in this moment, Alicia is holding space for me to speak, to answer these questions. In some ways, we're co-creating a held space for the listeners. Mm-hmm. You know, we're obviously speaking with each other, but we have you in mind. And it's almost like I can kind of call in all you listening, your energy, and imagine that you're here with us. And mm-hmm. sort of how can we create a safe space through this podcast to have meaningful conversations? And I think it really is more about setting an energetic tone and a sense of presence than it is giving advice or making someone feel like they need to change something. It's really like, how can we be together and drop into presence and authenticity and trust that what unfolds within that safe, sacred container is exactly what's needed for the next step on a healing journey, an empowerment journey, an awakening journey, a coaching journey.
Yeah. I think one thing I would add to that is that the space in that way, like rather than fixing, we're really just self-assessing, and there can't be any judgment in that container. There can't be really like we have to be like within our window of tolerance. And we've talked about this in so many episodes on the show. You've got to know about the window of tolerance. If you're curious on what I mean by that word, go back to one of my first episodes on the window of tolerance. But it's like there's this groundedness to this space, right? Mm-hmm. Where there's no fixing. There is a lot of feeling layering on that embodiment pillar and being really able to just like have a level of acceptance and groundedness with that presence of love, like you said, I think is really critical to have somebody feel safe to be able to really share their feelings. Again, needing people to heal really can happen within that container. So true. Yeah. So when we talk about like being able to create space for ourselves, because I know we talked about like how we can create space for ourselves with the coffee in the morning. And I love that, having that grounding movement, like having ourselves feel what we're feeling, not having to rush, but really processing there. And then like feeling like we can hold space for others is really, really awesome and necessary as well. But kind of going back to like that self-coaching piece, what are some like maybe tips or strategies that you have for somebody that maybe like is curious about how they can create that space for themselves?
Yeah. And maybe there's an opportunity here to even sort of break down when we say coaching, what that means, you know? And I think if you were to Google coaching, you'd probably get a bunch of different definitions. So I'm sort of just flowing with what's coming through me right now. But I would describe coaching as a set of skills and tools to support someone with living the life that they want. And of course, receiving what we want also means being on a transformational journey and moving through resistance and fear and barriers and all of that. So coaching offers a series of skills and tools to support someone on their own hero's journey. Let's say it that way. And so your question was again, how can we use coaching skills in those moments? Or can you remind me? Sometimes I get off topic a little bit and then I got to come back to the actual question, you know?
I think it does answer the question in a way. My question was like, how can we actually use some of those skills on ourselves? But first of all, we have to know like what it would look like for us to coach ourselves. So of course it means like pulling the tools that we need at what time that feel most supportive for ourselves right now.
Right.
This is something that if you had a container working with someone, they would use their own set of tools, which could be really supportive on your journey. But what if we're just on our own and pulling out the tools that we need to get our needs met?
Yeah. One of the most powerful coaching skills is the skill of acknowledging and validating. And sometimes I feel like if we all just knew how to acknowledge and validate, that in and of itself, without any other coaching skills, would create healing in ourselves when applied to ourselves and in the people we're holding space for. Mm-hmm. And so this is how you could use that coaching skill on yourself. Here's why it's important, first off. Acknowledging and validating is part of what helps someone feel safe in whatever their current experience is, no matter what it is. So it's very common in society to see what we might judge as, quote, negative emotions as a problem that needs to be fixed. And because of this sort of like pushing away of difficult feelings, we can sometimes feel like when we're in those moments of sadness, grief, depression, even contraction, what I would call contraction, feels often like contraction or smallness in the body.
Yeah.
When we can be in those moments, it can actually be easier to not acknowledge and validate ourselves in those moments, but actually think like, oh, why am I feeling this way? I shouldn't feel this way. Everyone on Instagram looks like they're having the best time ever. Why am I the only one in the world who is feeling sadness or grief or like, I don't even know how to make sense of 2020? Mm-hmm. Or like my whole life is changing and everything's crumbling and what's happening next. So I don't think that we're taught how to acknowledge and validate whatever experience we're in. And because of that, we gaslight ourselves. We think we're crazy for feeling the way that we feel. We sometimes feel really alone. And that pain that we feel turns into suffering because we're judging ourselves for having it. And so, you know, bringing in the ancient wisdom pillar, yogis would say, like, we all as humans have pain. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. And suffering is kind of like when we react to our pain and judge our pain, that's when we suffer. But if we can just sort of be with the painful experience and acknowledge and validate it, perhaps we suffer less. So acknowledging and validating is really meeting yourself. When you do it to yourself, it's meeting yourself in whatever experience you're in. And sometimes there's this self-awareness necessary to even know what experience you're in, you know, like, and that could be from an embodied place. It could be like, oh, I have this tightness in my chest. Or if you have already maybe a high level of emotional intelligence, you might know that that tightness is anxiety or it is grief. And so that's kind of a skill in and of itself, is like having awareness around emotional intelligence and also how those emotions show up in physical form in the body. That's another conversation. Mm-hmm. But acknowledging and validating it is kind of saying to yourself, and here's a script that you could use, mm-hmm. saying to yourself, like, of course I feel anxiety, given that there have been so many changes this year. There's so much uncertainty. My work life is shifting. My financial life is shifting. I feel like my relationships are shifting. Of course, this anxiety is present. Anyone in my shoes experiencing the same level of uncertainty, the same level of change, would feel this anxiety. So I'm not, my self-talk is not jumping to like, why do I feel this way? What can I do instead? How do I change myself? Like, I want this feeling to go away. It's actually first pausing and acknowledging that it's there. Mm-hmm. This is anxiety. That's an acknowledgement. Validating it is the part where it's like, anyone in my shoes would feel this way. This is part of the human experience. Of course, this is true for me, given my experience of my life. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing when we speak with someone else. So for example, if, you know, we're going to role play a bit, you're yeah. no longer the dietitian embodiment guide for your intuitive eating clients. I am. And yeah. you're a client who's struggling in her relationship with food and her body, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. just for a moment, like yes. what might be one of the struggles that you feel as that client, or that you see your clients feel all the time? Yeah. That's really hard around food and body.
Yeah, I think like even just getting dressed in the morning and finding clothes that feel comfortable, that mm-hmm. I feel confident in leaving my closet and going out for my work day or out for a night out or on the weekends or whatever, even just feeling like the closet is a really triggering experience and feeling like not confident in the body, not confident in the clothes that I'm wearing, and kind of feeling like there's something wrong with my body by the way that mm-hmm. these clothes aren't fitting my body.
Mm, yeah.
And when I think of that, I feel this tightness in my chest. I feel the contractive feelings. I notice, and I'm closing my eyes right now, and I'm just like feeling into a recent client conversation that I had that was similar to the pain that I'm feeling right now about this. And the real deep pain is really just knowing that my body is not accepted by the clothes that I have in the closet. There's feeling of lack of acceptance and lack of my own acceptance of my body and trying to clothe it in the morning. Mm, and it yeah. feels like a deep pain.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really hearing you. So here's another coaching skill. It's reflective listening. Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing you say, Alicia, is that when you wake up in the morning, many mornings, there's this trigger into feeling this smallness, this tension inside your body, this contraction inside your body, specifically as it relates to how you look in your clothes or how your clothes feel. So that's reflective listening. Mm-hmm. Here's where acknowledging and validating comes in. Of course, you feel that lack of confidence that shows up as this tension in your body. Considering the societal views and perspectives and diet cultures influence that it's almost like not okay for us to feel good in our bodies. Considering how you're not feeling like you're in a body that fully feels like you, it almost sounds like your body is not a comfortable place to be. And so when you put your clothes on, there's this sort of constant reminder of the discomfort that you feel in your body. And of course, getting dressed in the morning would be a trigger into some of that lack of confidence, pain, contraction, considering it is just a reminder of how you want your body to change. Mm-hmm. How true does that feel for you?
And that's really important. How true does that feel for you? And typically when I do reflective listening with my client sessions too, Casey, it's usually like when there is deep active listening happen, it's like, oh, it feels like I see the posture of my clients change in that moment. It's like, wow, like, thank you. There's like this initial like sigh of relief and the feeling like they're not alone in their experience. So then usually after, you know, saying, using reflective listening techniques, saying, how true does that feel for you? Oh, it feels really true. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Like, yes. Yeah. And this other thing. So then usually they can explore deeper. Do you find that same is true too? Without even absolutely. A question prompt.
So with really good coaching skills, and we've only talked about two, and there are so many, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about acknowledging, validating, and reflective listening. Already there's this opportunity of what I just heard you say is like your clients then feel seen mm-hmm. and they drop in. Yeah. They feel safer because you're not bypassing that thing that they just told you about. You're actually really acknowledging it and meeting them in that. And I guess the part that I didn't, you know, add on to the end is this piece of, you know, you're not alone. Like anyone in your shoes, given your experience of your body and given this triggering moment in the morning, anyone in your shoes would feel the same way.
Yeah. So when we talked earlier about holding space for someone, I hope everyone listening can really experience in their own way, like what it means to have space held for them in that way. It's really powerful because generally what we want is just like the fix to the thing. We're conditioned to think that way. Like my clothes don't feel right. What should I do? Change my body, hop on a diet. You know, do you
right.
See
and funny,
you?
It's not like go buy some new clothes, go get some bigger pants. You know, like it's funny that we go to this place of like, my body is wrong. It's my body's fault. Right. It's like, well, maybe just buy some jeans.
Doesn't
our bodies are meant to change.
Practical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, but we internalize all of these thoughts of like, we must be wrong, but having space held for us, we can just like have this renewed perspective.
Yeah.
I'm kind of into like neuroplasticity. I don't know if you've like ventured into any of that stuff lately, but this within a safe container, like we can actually start to reroute thought patterns and think differently. Once we feel safe to do that, we're not such a one-track mind. It's really getting that safe container is literally that powerful to change our brainwaves.
Yeah. And super nerdy about neuroplasticity. And maybe this is the part where we add, when we layer these coaching skills into embodiment, what we're doing in embodiment is we're actually helping to relax your nervous system, soften your sort of like conscious mind. And it's almost like the brain waves are moving from that beta wavelength to a more like alpha wavelength. And that is necessary to recode subconscious beliefs. So this is part of the power of coaching someone from an embodied, grounded, relaxed state, because it's sort of like we get to the deeper truths. And then and there's an opportunity to make shifts to those limiting belief patterns that are in you because of conditioning early on in life. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It's like literally all tied together. And in our certification, we don't talk a lot about like neuroplasticity and that realm, but that's also what we're doing. That's what we're doing by using embodiment and coaching together.
It's using that science pillar to support what's happening when we work with the other pillars.
Exactly.
Yeah. It makes
And it just keeps going, you know, like even this conversation, I'm thinking about how there's so much more that could be taught in the certification. Like there's so much more that validates the integration of those pillars, embodiment, coaching, ancient wisdom, and science. And I think that's what's so fascinating to me about it is really we can continue to go down and down and down this like rabbit hole of wisdom that is about how do we heal? How do we heal and then co-create the lives that we want? Co-create with, I might say, the universe, that's where spirituality might come in, co-create with your supporters or the people that hold space for you. It's like, we have power and we are magical beings where we can create the lives that we want. And it requires us to unwrap our conditioning and having support for that. And having support from someone who is really skilled in using various modalities together can really help that process.
Absolutely. So true. And as you were saying, there's more and more to build on the Let Your Body Lead pillars of coaching, embodiment, ancient wisdom, and science. I just thought of like all the tools on tools on tools there are to offer in coaching sessions, right? Mm-hmm. Excuse me. So true. So true. So kind of focusing it back on this coaching pillar, like, do you really think like, just like your personal opinion, like, do you think that people need coaching like in their lives? Like, do you like really though, like if we can just like acknowledge and validate like our own feelings, I know people are thinking this right now, like, okay, like I'll just hold space for myself. I'll acknowledge my feelings. I'll validate them. I'll journal about it. I will listen to a million podcasts. I will Google neuroplasticity. I will figure this out. Yeah. I'll do it myself. Yeah. I know that they're thinking that because that's very much the kind of person that I am. I think this is limiting though. I think that there's like a cap on that container where it's like, we can pop out of the embodiment piece and just like fall into the land of self-affirmations of like, you know, trying to brainwash ourselves into thinking something different without like feeling the feelings, right? Or like we can fall into like not actually doing the healing work by just going through it alone. Can you just speak on that for a moment?
Right. Yeah. So of course there is healing work that we can do on our own. And just by living our lives, life is going to give us opportunities to trigger us into healing our shit. Pardon my language. But it's kind of like just by living, circumstances will happen that will force you into an evolution. So that's true. And like you said, we can DIY it. We can research and gather information. And I think the biggest difference here in my perspective and my experience, my opinion, being someone who loves information, is like, we're not short of information. Like you can go look for as much information as you want about embodiment, coaching, ancient wisdom, science, neuroplasticity, change, self-development, self-growth. Like we can read all the Brené Brown books, which are transformative and are a form of space holding, right? Like she's space holding through creating the container of the book. We can like engage in a passive way and gather information, but having information does not mean transformation. And sometimes when we're smart intellectual beings and we love learning, we're actually using information as a way to bypass doing the work. It's like, if I just have more information, and it's like, okay, but are you integrating that information? You know? And of course, you can integrate information on your own. And it's much harder than when you have another person holding space for you for the purposes of transformation. You know, it's not just teaching. It's sort of like, how does this impact your life? How are you showing up? What do you want to do differently? Mm-hmm. And again, when we add in the layer of embodiment, it's like, okay, you're feeling this experience. You know, does it feel old or new? Where does this come from in your body? Like when I'm asking those questions, those are coaching skills too. Asking open-ended questions mostly and closed-ended questions in specific moments can really help to support the movement from just infotaining yourself to actually transforming yourself. And not to mention the power of, again, this is a very sciencey piece, but the power of mirror neurons, you know, and a term called co-regulation. So like Alicia mentioned, there's been talk about the window of tolerance. And this is an experience of having awareness of how you regulate your body and your nervous system. But what's true is that experience becomes really powerful in community or with others because we co-regulate. Mm-hmm. Just like if you get on the call with someone who is in a crisis and is super anxious, you start to feel those anxious feelings in your own body.
Yeah.
It's like we impact each other. So a masterful coach or guide or let your body lead practitioner will meet you in a space having done their own sort of grounding practice. So they're bringing in an energy of grounding, perhaps. This is an example. And that is helping you to ground just naturally because you're seeing in that person an essence that your body recognizes. Mm-hmm. So our bodies are communicating when we're in community and we're impacting each other. So it's like exponential growth, exponential transformation happens when we have support, especially support from someone who is really masterful at what they do, because just their presence is going to help you co-regulate. It's going to help you maybe come from a state of hyper arousal into the window of tolerance. Just the way that they see you and they share this energy of love with you, mm-hmm. and they reflect back what they're hearing from you. You receiving that is going to help you to actually drop in to the space of transformation rather than just learning and receiving information.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is how, you know, like being seen and being validated and having space held for us. Like we talked about how this impacts like our relationships and our health and our work life. But it's like, wow, when we have space held for us in this way, when that create container allows for that transformation of self, it's like we're able to hold more space for other people. Like my husband has seen, you know, just me handle situations differently, right? Like, and understanding him differently in some situations, right? I feel like I can hold more space for my husband. I feel like I could hold more space for my clients. You know, it's like that exactly what you're talking about. That co-regulation is so impactful. It's way beyond just like a one-on-one coaching container. Your people in your life will feel maybe more loved by you, yes, because you're able to be more compassionate towards them. You'll, yes, be more empathetic towards them. Yeah. And that's what I think showing and giving and receiving really love is what it can look like when we communicate in this way. It's insanely effective.
Mm. May I ask you a question, Alicia?
Mm. Yeah.
Kind of riffing off of what you just shared.
Yeah.
So it was really unique that you were in your pregnancy throughout. It's like we were in the gestation of the certification and you were in this gestation of Amelia, right? And exactly. Partway through, your identity changed. You know, you went from childless Alicia to mother. And I'm curious if and how some of the coaching skills or tools that you learned in combination with embodiment, and then as we continued on and got into the ancient wisdom module and the science module, I'm curious how that impacted your process, your transition from childless Alicia to mother.
Gosh, where do I start? Yeah, experiencing body stuff. I mean, talking about triggering moments with trying on clothes throughout pregnancy, that was a very real thing for me, you know, and kind of understanding and validating my own emotions and then coming back to our group and feeling like space was held for me every Tuesday was so wonderful going through that process because, yeah, when our bodies change so fast during pregnancy, that can be really tough, you know, to find clothes that feel great, you know, when they might have felt great a month ago, but they feel different now, you know, like all of these little things that just feel like little frictions in our life, you know, they can build up. And feeling like space has been held for me in that way is so impactful. And then also being able to like leverage my rational mind with my feeling body, like help me like really tune into like the pregnancy itself as I like felt into my body and slowed down my mind. And I got into a place where I was like, wow, the purpose of this is huge, you know? Mm. And I got into purpose. I got into meaning. I got into the root of all of my fears and anxieties that really surrounded pregnancy. And I've shared this with you, Casey, and I'll share it with everyone that like, I've never thought about death more in my life than throughout my pregnancy. And also like after, like death is like a continual conversation. But when we talked earlier about like suffering and pain, like having even that be seen is something that's so healing for me throughout that journey. Like, oh my gosh, of course we think about death when we love something so much. Mm-hmm. Of course we think that, you know? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that resonance. It's just, it's so powerful in these ways. And now like I've, you know, also thought like when Amelia is just crying and I feel like there's nothing I can do, I validate her experience. And when I say it to her, it makes it more real for me. Like, oh my gosh, of course you're crying. I just had you in the car seat for like a half an hour. You're allowed to cry. You can cry. Yes. I'm going to be here for you. I'm going to literally hold you while I'm holding space for you. It calms my nervous system. Mm. I mean, talk about co-creating a space. When I first had her, I was like, oh my God, she's crying. What do I do? What should I do? What about the blanket? What about this? Should I do the nook? Shouldn't I do the nook? Aren't moms doing other nooks? Like I'm in my mind. No, like, oh, she's crying because we haven't even figured out how to communicate to each other yet.
Totally.
We're both frustrated. This is what frustration looks like. I'm sure other moms feel frustrated.
Yes. And how powerful, because, you know, I'm just imagining, like, how do you think that, I guess what I'm hearing you say is you learned how to acknowledge and validate yourself in your pregnancy journey. And then that translated into acknowledging and validating her in her embodied experience. Like she can't talk yet, obviously. And she communicates with her body language and her tears, right? And so what do you think the impact of that will be as she grows into an adult, having been born to a mother who knows how to acknowledge and validate her feelings? And like, let's just take a little sacred pause too. I'm sure because we're all human, like you flip out every once in a while and fly off the handle, and like motherhood's a hard journey to be on. So I just want to get like reality check. You're probably not doing that perfectly and we don't expect you to ever, but even just having that skill every so often to, translate maybe what you learned in the certification with your daughter. How do you think that'll impact her growing up?
Before I answer that question, I got to first say, like, of course I mess up. Of course I pop out of my window of tolerance and I get ticked. But even like recognizing that, like, and then realizing, like, I even feel better, like, through the certification and recognizing how I'm reacting rather than responding gives me like the clues that I need to like learn how to drop back in and then become present again. So like, of course I'm going to mess up, but even then I feel like better able than equipped to kind of come back to a grounded state and be there for her then rather than continuing the spiral or judging myself for doing that thing that now I'm ashamed of. I even then can validate myself like, oh, of course I got ticked, right? So it just keeps going, right? Of course. But yes, like being able to like validate myself in front of her, I feel like is so important. In the anti-diet realm, like, you know, this perpetual body hatred is generational. And the more that women like hate their bodies in front of their children, it prompts them to hate their bodies too. It's just like,
I think what you talked about, it's subconscious even. Like, of course, we don't accept our bodies because my mom didn't accept our bodies. I don't accept mine. It's passed down almost in a way. Do you feel like that's true in your experience too?
Yeah, or from absolutely. What you've seen? Absolutely. And when we get into embodiment, like our bodies literally are, you know, my teacher in India, my yoga teacher in India would say, like, if you have a discontent with your body, you have discontent with your ancestors, because our bodies are parts of our ancestors. And so when we talk about intergenerational conditioning, trauma,
yeah,
diet, mindset, diet culture being passed down through generations, it's like, that's like real. Like the DNA that creates those conditions, but then also it's like nature and nurture gets passed down into our experience that's stored in our bodies. So yes.
What's also true above that is like, this is the remedy.
Yeah.
Like this is the frickin' remedy to like passing on generational stuff with food and bodies. First, like acknowledging and validating ourselves and using some of these coaching skills to like, actually come to a place of acceptance rather than the resistance or finding the quick fix or the way out. So when you, this totally parallels the question that you asked me about Amelia is like, wow, like what if this is the thing that like really helps her feel more confident and at ease with her emotions in her body with herself, like throughout life? Like if we can, her and I, co-regulate a space that makes her feel safe, she's going to be unstoppable. I'm sorry. Like she's going to like look at fear and be like, whatevs, we're doing the thing.
Right?
Like,
oh my gosh.
She will live with less fear. She will live a life that has deep and meaningful purpose because she will know what feels contractive, what feels expansive. She'll be able to, I'm getting tears in my eyes, you know, because she'll feel safe in order to do that. Mm. She'll feel supported. You know, I think that's what we all want for ourselves and also our children and our friends and our loved ones in a really deep way. Mm-hmm. Casey, can I just ask, or is something coming up for you right now that you want to share?
Well, I just wanted to see if I had permission to sort of even ask about the tears in your eyes. Like I noticed that came up when you started talking about like, she'll be so powerful and fearless. Yeah. And like when we can create the safe space, and then you said, oh, I have tears in my eyes. I'm curious about that embodied sort of emotion in that moment for you.
Yeah. I think it's just truth. You know, I think that's what we just so deeply want. Amazing how our body has a reaction to truth sometimes, you know, that's just one of those moments. I feel like so deeply we talk about that as part of the certification too. It's just part of like, wow, our body even now is just giving me signs of like, oh, how deep and powerful that statement was and of how this work really is. So much so. Yeah. I'm really feeling that deeply.
Cool. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for that. Can you share a little bit more about where people can learn more about this? They're dying to know as they're listening right now. They're just like, they just had a taste of it and they're like, we need more. Either like, you know, you come to the kitchen table every week, you're invited to do so, or they can join the program. What can they do to connect with you, learn about the program more?
Yeah, the most direct way to connect with me is to email me, Casey, Casey, at worthyandwell.com. Right now, we're in early enrollment for the Let Your Body Lead Professional Certification 2021. And as part of that, there's an extended year-long payment plan. You're saving $1,000. You're getting access to a business-intensive program. So the certification is for smart, ambitious, and spiritually curious, mostly service-based providers, but some people who create products as well or products and services together. So dietitians, health professionals, coaches, consultants, healers, who really want to embody their integrated self and core purpose. So connect with that thing that really is the offering or the gift that they want to give to the world. I say coach their clients to truth tingles. So what I mean by that is masterfully guide and hold space for clients to create deep, meaningful transformation. So it's like, we're moving beyond helping them set SMART goals. Let's get into like the stuff that helps them heal, become empowered, and awaken to their true selves, their true gifts. And then the third real result of the certification is to have support with expanding your body-centered business. So I can never turn off the part of my brain that like sees business strategy and business models and sales and offers. And I love like helping service-based practitioners be successful doing this work, because, you know, you talked a bit about like coming into the group and being seen, and the when we get coached, we fill our cup so that then we can give to others. Well, we need to be really well resourced to be heart-centered business owners and practitioners. And so money is resource. Being supported in community is resource. Having permission to rest and regenerate is how we get resourced. And so it's even more than ever important for me to help people who are doing this work be abundantly supported financially and in many other ways to continue doing it, because it's hard to do when you aren't well resourced. So those are all big parts of the certification. And of course, you get lots of skills and tools in the pillars of embodiment, coaching, ancient wisdom and science, and kind of wrapped up in the frameworks of the Let Your Body Lead method and the Purpose Map framework, which I think you've heard Alicia talk about already on the podcast. So for anyone who's interested, the best step is to email us at casey@worthyandwell.com or info@worthyandwell.com. And we send a few questions to just get a sense of like, what intrigued you about this and what are you hoping to get out of it? And then we send over like a full invitation letter with all the details and book a call with me. And I always want to make sure that it's the right, you know, I always say in sales, it's like, it's the right offer for the right person at the right time. And that's so important. So that would be my suggestion for next steps for folks that are interested.
Perfect. It's like the gift that keeps on giving, the certification. I'll tell you that right now. And you're giving like bonuses and free business stuff. Oh, run, don't walk. Like run, don't walk. You will feel held at every step of the journey if you do choose to pursue the certification.
Casey. And if not, join yes. our community. You know, like it might not be yes. the right fit for everyone. So yeah. I, you know, am happy to serve and offer in other ways as well. Like
wonderful.
Other types of content.
For sure. That you can follow along at Worthy and Well on Instagram as well. Mm-hmm.
Thanks Super for that, cool. Alicia.
Yes. Thank you for everything, Casey. Like so more than welcome. Just being on the show, for everything and beyond. My gratitude is endless. And thanks for holding space for all of us today on the show. Really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me again.
Yes. We'll have you back on if you'll come back.
Sounds awesome.
Wonderful. Everyone else, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you on next Monday's episode. Have a great day and a great weekend. Talk soon.